How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. Just finished the Kyle Shanahan press conference, and we'll go over the injury report. But I want to spend most of today talking just different film nuggets. You know, we finished all of the offensive film. That's up on the 49ersrush.com, every single play, broken down, scheme. Who did well, who didn't, all those different things. Why plays didn't work, why drives didn't work, why touchdowns didn't work, right? Why you only got 17 points despite having the offense that you have. We broke all that down. So I want to share a lot of my kind of film nuggets, takeaways from that. Want to talk defense, want to talk personnel. There's a lot to get into. And of course, we've got to talk wherever you guys want to go with this show. This is episode 1265 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. Thank you to our sponsors, Corey Robbins, 49ers Storage 365, Kilted Niner, David G. Y'all make all this happen. And for everybody watching, you guys are the best. Hashtag CCs. What's up, Kevin? Hopefully your shirt should be arriving soon. It has been sent in the mail. What's up, RTP? My man. Appreciate you guys. Even Kenny Powers from down south. I love it. Seattle, one ring champion. That's awesome. Sean, game film today, mock draft film next week. Ouch. Your backs are against the wall. The 49ers versus Packers, ESPN puts out an FPI, you know, predict playoff indicator, whatever. And if the 49ers beat the Packers this week, 55% chance you make the playoffs. If you lose this game this week, it's down to like 15%. And a lot of it just is the tiebreakers. You have the second worst divisional record in the NFC. Your conference record is dog trash. You lose another one to the conference opponent that really, it's like if the Packers don't win the division, which I doubt they will with Detroit there, but they're in third place in their division. Right now, it's currently looking like all three NFC North teams, three out of four, will be making the playoffs. Lions, Vikings, and Green Bay. Now, there's still a lot of football left, but that third playoff spot, that third wild card spot, remember, seven get in, four division winners, right? The three, but that last kind of wild card whatever, it's probably going to the Packers. So you lose to the Packers, now your tiebreakers are all out. And so, like, the 49ers just keep kind of cutting away their opportunities or their windows to get into the playoffs. That's why I'm going to keep harping on this. I think the two most important games, Packers and Cardinals, I think those are the two most important games on the schedule. Obviously, the Rams are important. In any division game are always important. But I think it's going to come down to Packers, Cardinals, 49ers, whether the 49ers are competing for the division or if they're competing for that wild card spot. I don't give a damn. Obviously, you want to win the division so you can host a game. But you get into the dance, weird things happen. And that's kind of what you want to be. We have been 5-5 in the past, got into the playoffs barely, make it to the NFC Championship, and we're literally a play away from making it to the Super Bowl, dropped interception. There's a lot more. It's always more nuanced than that. But, yeah, Sean, I mean, we're going to keep breaking down the film. I don't care. Like, I'm breaking down every single play, offense, defense, special teams, nonstop. That's never going to stop. I'm doing that for the rest of my life, rest of my career, as long as you guys keep supporting me. I just think it's important. I do. Even if the playoffs are out, then you watch the young pups. You see the development. You kind of go from there. But where we sit today, it's playoffs or bust. That's where you are. That's where the team should be. Your backs are up against the wall. You're underdogs. Finally, you are not favored for the first time in a long time. You got to go out there and do something. What's up, Daniel? How we doing, man? Vince, my man. He says, I love nuggets. Don't you, man, when you were a kid, not you, shoot, kid, I still buy dino nuggets, not for me, for my teenager, but I ain't going to lie. Whenever he makes those things, I'm like, you got a couple other dino nugs in there? Just going to say. Manny says, Debo rather podcast. I'm one of those people that does not have a problem. I don't have a problem with players podcasting and having other things. There's only so much time that your mind can in your body can do things. Like, you can't work out 6 hours a day. Even if you did, you'd still have extra time. So I'm all for players podcasting. Now what you put out in that podcast and all that stuff, that's different. I do not watch his podcast. I don't watch Ayuk's podcast. I don't follow players on social media. That's not my jam. That's just not who I am. I'm never going to be that person, but I know a lot of people are, because whenever Debo or Ayuk or somebody says something on one of their shows, I get a lot of emails and clips sent to me, and that's okay. But yeah, you guys do you. David, we got royalty in the house. Says, I don't want it to be draft season yet. I remember Michael Jackson. Remember the times, right? Mock draft season was in October. I remember these times. I remember. Here we are in November. It's not time yet. I'm with you, David. And once the draft does get here, and for those of you perhaps that are new to the 49ers Rush podcast, where you been? Glad you're here. This year round, baby. When the season and the Niners playoff opportunities are done, you know, whether they've won the Super Bowl, not whatever, that's when we start draft work. I'm not starting early. No matter how many of my Longhorns are going to be first round picks. I think 4. But yeah, anyway. It's what it is. What's up, Dave? How you doing, man? Josh, the man, he says, I'll catch later. Off to the kid show. Hope your daughter's recital or chorus. I think it's a chorus thing. I hope it goes really, really well. Good luck to her. She is awesome. Observe, no more excuses for Kyle Shanahan. I don't know what excuses he has used. But no more excuses. An undisciplined team falls all on him. For the fans blaming the refs once again. Yeah, you never blame the refs. They can make it harder, and they have. But you let the game get that close, that's on you. The defense that we all know hasn't been fixed because of Kyle. Ooh, interesting take. I don't think I've seen that one. The defense hasn't been fixed because of Kyle. We have the 4th highest payroll attributed to the defense of the NFL. We're paid out the wazoo for that thing. It's not performing well. But yeah, Kyle, it all rests on Kyle. I agree with you there. I don't know if he's made excuses. I think other people make excuses for him. And I get it. I'm probably one of the ones that falls into the, yeah, Kyle Shanahan should 100% be the coach moving forward. He's earned that right. It doesn't mean you can't be frustrated with him. You should be frustrated with him. You're 5-5. You should be frustrated with your team. And that's the funny thing, too. Like, you look across, you know, the NFL, and you see some of these other teams. Like, the Rams are happy they're 5-5. Seattle is happy they're 5-5, right? Like, that. The Colts are happy they're 5-5. The 49ers are ready to fire their coach who was just in the Super Bowl. Like, and I love those expectations, and I don't want those to stop, but I also don't want to fertilize those into, you know, we're just, you know, this Madden video game culture where if you're not first place, you suck and you're horrible. Like, man, you're second place. Now, the 49ers are not second place. In fact, if you look at the NFC West, we're dead last. If you look at the NFC in general, we're 10th. We are 10th. We are one game out of first place. Technically, one and a half, but we play them. So if we win, it's really one game in tiebreakers. But Arizona Cardinals got us in tiebreakers. They got us in divisional record. They've got us in conference record. You got some work to do. Actually, they don't. If we beat them, we'd have the same conference record, but they would have us division. So moving forward, you got to root against the Cardinals. That's just what it is. Speaking of Cardinals, what's up, Shane? My Arizona 49ers empire in the house. But yeah, I'm not in the fire Shanahan, whatever. Yeah, Jim, right here. Baldy gave his opinion of what he saw on Sunday, and it wasn't good at all. Look, listen to me. Like, one, I really do enjoy Brian Baldinger as a person, as, you know, whatever he is, analyst, whatever. But he's a film guy. He's a film guy that's been in the NFL for a long time. And so whatever people send me Baldy clips, I'm like, yeah, I watched the film. I've said that same thing. He talked about the defense being completely vanilla. Yep, been talking about that. Talked about how the defense completely gives up in the fourth quarter. Yeah, why? Because they don't disguise anything. Yep, talked about that. Talked about putting players in bad positions. Yep, talked about that nonstop. Like, the film doesn't lie. And like, you can watch the film and come away with two or three different takeaways. That's very, very true. But if you get... I think I'm going to sound like a pompous a-hole right here, and I apologize, and I wish I didn't, but this is kind of where I go sometimes. And so, like, I'm trying to self-admit my flaws and my own bias as I come to this, but man, I've been in coaching rooms where you're sitting watching film and you're trying to diagnose and scout and try to find places to exploit or cover up or whatever, and you'll have five or six coaches in the room. It's not like you come up with five to six different game plans. You watch the film, and it's like, oh, this is what it is. It's pretty simple. Now, we're all in a room together coming up with a game plan as coaches, but Brian Baldinger, who I've never been in a room with or spoken to, I know he's a fun party guy. I think we get along, but he's coming up with the same damn conclusions as everybody else that's watching the actual tape and breaking down the tape. When Baldy agrees with me, and Johnny Dell and other people that are breaking down every single play and have been for multiple years, yeah, it's not a shock because we spend the time. We grind the tape, and the answers are all there. Now, the problem, and again, more pompous a-hole, whatever, most of the people, other content creators, which is a wonderful thing, that maybe don't understand football as much, not saying that they're bad or whatever else, they don't start with the film. They start with the box score. They start with one play they saw on a broadcast view. They start with something else and then build around that. You start with film and you build. Yeah, it's gonna hold true. That's why we could all agree. That's why me, Johnny Dell, Baldinger, whomever else, like, watches tape and spends time in tape and understands the game. Like, I'm not saying I'm right all the time, but some of these takes are very, very simple. But here we go. If you're worried about, like, oh, well, Brock Purdy's not in charge of protection calls. Well, that's because you've just never really been a part of it. And I know that sounds like, I'm not trying to sound elitist. I hope I'm not. But, like, football people don't spend time talking about that. Football people understand that's not what it is. But yeah, Baldy called out, man, offensive running game is non-present. Why? Three out of five of your offensive linemen are doing terrible. Now, one of my takeaways was this. I'm all over the place. Shocker. You'd think by 1,200 plus episodes, I'd get better. Nah, I'm getting worse. I don't care. Hopefully, it's funny because whenever I get off schedule or off script or whatever, people usually like that better. I don't know if you do. Colton McKivitz ruined a drive all by himself, enough to cost the 49ers the game. Terrible false start when we were already at a bad spot. Then he gave up the sack. I mean, just completely wiped points off the board. Mike McGlinchey-esque, 100%. Completely ruined a drive. And we were well in scoring position. We were in the red zone. He knocked us out of the red zone, ruined things, took points off the board. Outside of those two plays, and I know we said this before, but I want to be consistent. Colton McKivitz played pretty damn good game. You if you eliminated those two, but you can't. So you have to factor those two in. So whenever I say three out of five of our offensive linemen are terrible or were terrible in this game, that's not true. Colton McKivitz had a lot of positive plays. So the correct thing to say is two out of five of our offensive linemen were god-awful. Colton McKivitz ruined a drive by himself and took points off the board. But Aaron Banks and Jake Brindle sucked.
Thank you, No, the Casio G-Shock. Thanks to its legendary toughness and timekeeping autonomy, it's no secret why the mighty G-Shock has earned its place on the wrist of weekend warriors, first responders, and militaries all over the world. But there's levels to this stuff. And there's a little-known collection of top-shelf G-Shock watches made for folks who crave the very best for everything in life. It's called the MRG. This flagship line of G-Shock watches takes the most cutting edge of tech G-Shock has to offer and blends it with the highest levels of traditional Japanese craftsmanship. We're talking about hybrid titanium and Kobarian case construction with artisanal armor-like flourishes, all honed like the edges of a samurai sword. Every beloved reference in the G-Shock collection gets coveted MRG treatment. From the original square case digital reference from 1983 to the beloved analog Frogman dive watch, all the way up to the newest fan favorite, the MRG B2100, with its octagonal bezel and its wild interlocking beams dial. Discover the full range this holiday season at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in 49ers Rush to receive a special gift with your next G-Shock order.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Aaron Banks and Jake Brindle literally not only ruined drives, I think they ruined the game. And I think they're ruining our entire offensive identity. Brock Purdy can't be comfortable behind those two. Can't do it. Running game doesn't work behind those two. Now, Aaron Banks, whenever he's healthy, is great. When is that? He's always banged up. Now, he's a warrior, and he'll play through anything. But that's awesome. Best ability is availability, which he is always available. But whenever he's playing through injuries, golly, he's terrible. Jake Brindle's just bad all the time. I think he's had one good game. I think he's had six good quarters. It's terrible. And whenever you get people like Brad Graham, who I freaking love that man. I really, really do. The short time that I've been able to spend with him, I cannot say enough positive things about that human being. But whenever you get people like Brad Graham, who doesn't say anything negative about anybody because he's just such a good human, that's who he is. I hope that never changes. Start saying things like, man, I really hope Feliciano gets snaps this week. Like, yes, yes. Like, the 49ers are stuck offensively, not because Brock can't adjust protections, not because Kyle's not creative anymore, not because wide receivers aren't getting separation. They are, maybe not at the extent we're used to. It's because your offensive line. You build in the trenches. Two out of five of your offensive line are god-awful beyond replacement players currently. Again, Aaron Banks healthy doesn't fall into that category. We haven't seen Aaron Banks healthy since week 3 last year. last year. I seriously, you know, this is just my own personal take, whatever. Now we're into a matter of opinion. John Feliciano would be my starting center. I would rotate Spencer Burford in with Aaron Banks because Aaron Banks still does put up positive plays. Burford can, but only whenever he has to block a safety. That's it. That's the only, sorry, not Burford. Brendel can, but only whenever he's got to run 20 plus yards and block a safety. He's great at that. We do that twice a game. All the other plays, the foundational plays, not good. Not good. No functional strength. A lot of times acts like he doesn't know the play. And I know he's smart and I know he's got the athleticism, but it's third and two and you're reaching a shade. He doesn't even get his head across or try to. It's just like, what the hell are you doing? This is like lineman 101 stuff. He does it quarter by quarter. It's just who he is. And then he'll stop and turn around and watch. So there's changes and solutions that could be made. Is John Feliciano going to be better at 32 coming off an injury than Jake Brendel? Yeah. Yeah, he is. Yes, he is. You go back to the Super Bowl, right? The Super Bowl had two changing moments. Dre Greenlaw injury, John Feliciano injury. And again, I would say this all offseason. It's Trent Williams, then John Feliciano, then everybody else on that offensive line. And in the training camp, they were getting Feliciano snaps at center, but his knees were messed up. Put him on IR, whatever. Now he's back. He's been back for 3 weeks. It's time. Just work him in. And I understand the continuity on the offensive line with all five starters is so important. But not when two out of five of the offensive linemen suck. And I'm not a negative guy, at least sometimes. But I can only watch 64 ruin things for so long. Like, it's so bad. And it's only getting worse. He's currently the 34th ranked center in the NFL. There's only 32 teams. Jam right here. Burford should replace Banks. I think both of them work well when they have time off. Like two series. We used to do it with Tom Compton. We did it with Burford back in the day. Like, give them a shot because Banks is killing us right now. Killing us. Oh, Tony, how dare you? Just imagine if they drafted Zach Frazier, PFF 82.3. He's graded out higher than Dominique Pooney has. Is there anybody in the room virtually that was vying, begging, telling everybody to draft Zach Frazier? And is there anybody else? Oh, it was me. Some of you guys were with me and I broke down the tape and I showed everybody why it was a perfect fit. Why it was a perfect fit. He's already a top five center in the NFL. Already. Now, where do you draft him? He went before our second round pick, Renardo Green. He went right before. I want to make sure I speak correctly on this because I know that he went late in the second round. Okay, we drafted Renardo Green, pick 64, the very last pick. Zach Frazier went 51, so he went 13 spots before us. Now, do you take him with our first round pick? If you told me right now you could have Zach Frazier or Ricky Pearsall, and I like Ricky Pearsall, one of my complaints is he needs to be more involved in the offense. I'm taking Zach Frazier 7 days a week or twice on Sundays. Like, it's not even close. The impact that this man has brought, look at it. Look what the Steelers have done. Yeah, I like Ricky Pearsall. I'm not saying I don't want Ricky Pearsall. I'm not saying that. But, man, could you imagine if you got Zach Frazier in the first, Renardo Green in the second, and then you got Dominique Pooney in the third? Whew. And then, okay, let's just play real talk. Zach Frazier went 51. You picked Ricky Pearsall 31. You trade back 10 spots. Pick up a pick, whatever, fourth rounder, I don't even care. You trade back low. I'd still take that. Now, maybe Ricky Pearsall is going to be all world, whatever else. But guess what? We're not hurting for wide receivers, even with Ayuk out. Like, we're okay. Juwan Jennings, our wide receiver one. Debo struggling. I get that. But, like, nah, we're struggling at center. And every time it's like, oh, Kyle Shanahan ain't going to trust a rookie. Kyle Shanahan ain't going to trust a rookie. Kyle Shanahan's never drafted a center. Well, Creed Humphrey passed at the exact same time, exact same value. Well, we got Aaron Banks. Awesome. I like Aaron Banks, but, like, he's not good. Can't stay healthy. Can't stay healthy. Ugh. Right here, Sonia. I appreciate you, Sonia. You ground my reason with hope and optimism, and I wish I could be with you. She says, I have faith the Niners will draft O-line this year. We got 11 picks. I hope so. I don't know. We need a new kicker and a new punter probably. So those are, anyway, I don't want to go down there. Now, let's talk injuries. These are just updated for Kyle Shanahan right before I went live and went rambling on. Brock was limited today. That's huge. Kittle limited today. That's huge. Nick Bosa did not practice. Christian McCaffrey, he's scheduled rest day. They're kind of giving him the Trent Williams treatment, who also didn't practice. He never practiced on Wednesdays. Rest CMC on Wednesday. Ramp him up after that. Also, the 49ers signed defensive end Jonathan Garvin to the practice squad. He was with us in the preseason training camp. He was awesome. Was with the Packers beforehand. Another just signed. The 49ers are preparing some depth for if Bosa doesn't go. Now, I can't tell you if Nick Bosa will or won't play. No clue. He's got two obliques. That's not good, especially for somebody who's had core muscle surgery in the past before we drafted him. Not good. Now, some of the fitties, I didn't have time to cut the clips. I scheduled this show for one without even looking up the 49ers press, like rookie mistake. I don't know what I was thinking, but anyway, I'm off homeschooling and doing other stuff. But anyway, so I pushed it back, but I didn't have time to cut the clips. But there were three telltale things that came away from Kyle Shanahan's press conference. One, there is no running back rotation change taking place. It's Christian McCaffrey. Whenever he's tired, you put somebody else in, and then you get him out. It doesn't matter how good they are. Doesn't matter that Jordan Mason led the NFL in rushing at one point. Doesn't matter that he had 8 yards per carry against this same Seattle Seahawks team earlier in the year. Doesn't matter they overloaded the outsides and left the middle of the field wide open. That doesn't matter. Don't expect any more Jordan Mason. Don't expect any more Isaac Garrido, which even if you do watch the two plays that Isaac Garrido played, he had one good play. And then he tripped Aaron Banks in pass pro on the other play. That 50% is good for him. That's better than what he's done. Jordan Mason's two plays were incredible. Great job. Two rush attempts, 12 yards. He never went back to him. Anyway, no more D winners. Don't expect that to be changed. Kyle Shanahan talked about how good Devondre Campbell has been, which is true. Shanahan said Campbell's played his best games the last 3 weeks. That is 100% factually correct. Very similar. I'm going to say this. Makes sense in my head. Colton McKivitz and Devondre Campbell are the same player. Devondre Campbell played really, really well almost the all game until he did it in the fourth quarter and gave up the two biggest plays of the game, including the rush touchdown, walk-off touchdown almost. That was all on Devondre Campbell and Nick Sorensen, who constantly puts everybody in bad situations. But he said, no, we're not rotating in to D winners. We're staying with Campbell. I don't think that that's the wrong choice. I would prefer D winners, but not like I prefer Feliciano over Brindle. Like, Brindle sucks. There's no hope at this point in his career. He gets good. You are what you are, right? Banks, like, okay, so how do I say this? Brindle is problem number 10. Like, as many points as you could attribute to an issue, Jake Brindle is 10 out of 10. Aaron Banks is like a 7 out of 10. Devondre Campbell's like a 5 out of 10. You see what I'm saying? Like, Colton McKivitz is like a 3 or a 4 out of 10, in my opinion. There's too many positives with Colton McKivitz's game. I know a lot of people don't like hearing this. I'm sorry. The tape says that. Go watch the breakdown, all of the breakdown. Yeah, Geno versus Campbell in a foot race isn't a bad thing if Campbell stays in his zone drop. He chased the number one clearing underneath, which is stupid. You don't do that. And then Yetur Gross-Matos gets flattened. Leonard and Robert Beal's in there spelling people. He doesn't really do much. But Yetur Gross-Matos, Nick Sorensen, and Devondre Campbell are why that touchdown took place. That's it. Like, Campbell was out of position. Campbell's out of position. You're in zone, and he ran with one and cleared out of the hook to curl zone. Terrible, terrible, terrible. That's not the way the play is drawn up. It was. I don't disagree with the play call, the quarters protection at that point. Campbell just didn't execute. Sorensen sucks. He's terrible. Sorensen would be, okay, now let's do coaches. Brian Schneider is a 10 out of 10. There is zero hope. There's no way that's going to improve after what we've seen for the past 2 years. It's just worse, 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 right? That's a 10 out of 10. Nick Sorensen is an 8 out of 10. Now, he's young and could improve, but let's go to it. Let's talk about it. I went through this briefly on the John and Wayne show this morning. We were on his show. So go check out Wayne's channel, The Wayne Breezy, if you haven't already. Shout out to SF Data Niners. They put together this handy dandy little chart. This is defensive EPA per quarter, right? Now, I'm not the biggest EPA guy. I do think that it has weight, but at the end of the day, I'm a football guy above all else. But this basically shows how each team, all 32 teams, are first, second, third, fourth quarter. Well, the 49ers get worse every single quarter. They start off fourth in the first quarter, we're great. Seventh in the second quarter, great. Then you fall to 13th in the third quarter, and then you fall all the way to 29th. It might be 28th. Sorry, the chart's a little small. In the fourth quarter, you're awful. You get worse every single quarter. Now, the question is, why? Why? And this is where it's so simple. The 49ers don't disguise anything, and it's the most vanilla defense in the NFL. And you stay that way every single quarter. All you do, every third down, cover one man. All you do, first, second down, cover three quarters. Sometimes you sprinkle in some cover six. Sometimes you sprinkle in some Tampa two. Basic, no exotic blitzes, no disguised blitzes, very little simulated pressures. Actually, I think we're the worst in the NFL at simulated pressures. So teams are allowed to sit there and build. Oh, we know what they do. We've seen it on film. We know this is going to continue in the fourth quarter. So teams sandbag. Not that they have bad plays, but they have cover three beaters. They have cover one beaters. They have these things. And they just say, we're going to reserve these plays till it matters. Fourth quarter, break the huddle. Nick Sorensen doesn't even know what disguise means. Doesn't even understand what that word means. No clue. We break the huddle. We show. We're in man coverage from the jump. They motion to get whatever it is man matchups they want. Exploit the hell out of it. Okay, we're in zone. We show up from the jump. No way that they could blitz. It's 100% a four-man pressure. You can't even disguise a blitz if you wanted to. And if you do, because you play so far back, it's going to be a delayed blitz. We're going to have time to get the hot read out anyway. No overload blitzes. No anything. The only creative thing we do is we sub a defensive end for a defensive tackle, and we call it NASCAR. It's not even four defensive ends. It's three. We kick Etur Gross Models inside. That's it. That's the astounding. They'll never see this one coming. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke what we do defensively. Now, that's the EPA numbers wise. Now let's look at the football wise, right? And which all this correlates to each other. I got bored last night because I was mad. And I was like, all right, how many fourth quarter scoring drives do the 49ers give up on defense? Let's go look at it. And I was like, man, fourth quarter's too long. Let's just do the second half. So I did 7 minutes or left, like crunch time, right? So 7 minutes are left in the fourth quarter. Y'all ready for this? Now, keep in mind, we played 10 games. 10. There's way more scoring drives than games played. How the hell is that possible? So let's start week one, Jets. You gave up a 12-play, 70-yard touchdown drive to the Jets. They fired everybody. They still were able to get success late against us. Vikings, 14-play, 62-yard field goal to ice the game. They did that. All you had to do is get off the field, had a chance to win it. Defense, 14-play, 62 yards. Rams, 13 plays, 55-yard field goal. Not done, Rams. 3-play, 33 yards, touchdown. Not done, Rams. 2-play, 31-yard field goal. Lost the game. Three scoring drives in less than 7 minutes. Now, somebody's going to be like, yeah, but listen, 33 yards, 31 yards. You're giving up over 12 yards per play in the fourth quarter. They didn't have anybody. They didn't have anybody. They didn't have any of their best players. Cardinals, 14 plays, 75-yard field goal to win the game. Seahawks, earlier in the season, 15 plays, 70-yard touchdown drive. Seahawks. Chiefs, 12 plays, 80-yard touchdown drive. Cowboys, 4 plays, 70-yard touchdown drive. Cowboys, those were the blown coverages. And man, stick with it, Sorensen. Bucks, 11 plays, 58-yard field goal to tie the game. Couldn't get a stop. Then the Seahawks, 11 play, 80-yard drive for the touchdown. The creme de la creme to Geno Smith running. That's Nick Sorensen. No disguising, no anything. We run out of everything, and people are like, yeah, but Nick Bosa got hurt on that last drive. But what about the other 12 drives? That's 12. We played 10 games. Defense. When you have the lead in the fourth quarter, you win games, period. This team, this 49ers team, has to be up 13 points in the fourth quarter to have a chance. We had a lead, I think, in almost every single game except for the Chiefs. And we lost 5. So we've lost 4 games where we had the lead in the fourth quarter. Stupid. Monkey Boy, appreciate the super chat. I was okay with having one of the highest average age rosters, thinking that meant we'd have stronger mentality when it mattered. This year has proven we don't. There's a few guys on this team that just will not be denied. It used to be Debo. That used to be Debo. Hasn't been him this year. Now it's Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings is the guy that's just like, I do not give a damn. Whatever it takes, I'm going to do it. Used to be Fred Warner. Fred Warner is taking a step back whenever he got injured, not injured, but played through it. I mean, it was every single week. It was like, this is the defensive player of the year. Like, he needs to be in contention. No, he does not need to be. I love Fred Warner. He's taking a huge step back. I don't know who on this team won't be denied. Juwan Jennings. That's it. I mean, Trent's awesome, but he's not pancaking people and slamming people and killing people out there anymore. And that, not saying that's what he should do. He's the oldest dude there is. But, like, who's the guy on this team that just won't take no for an answer? Demo? I'd say Diamador Lenore. And I'd say Juwan Jennings. Those are our two guys. And the age, yeah, it's rough. Yeah, right here, Jim. Opponents know we don't blitz at all. They do. It's the most vanilla defense out there. It's the most vanilla defense out there. Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. Yeah, the Burn Man says, you know, I'm sure next year all the aging veterans will somehow be better. Ooh, yeah. You've got to make some changes. We'll see. Yeah, Mr. Joe, I'm opposite tank. I'll never tank. I can't do it. That's never going to change. Yeah. Right here, Fred was seen crying after the Geno touchdown. I don't know about that. But, hey, I never had a problem even coaching. Like, I want you to care. I want you to care about the team. Like, nah, I don't care. Like, that's not a thing. Players caring that much about anything is huge to me. Like, I want passion. I want to wear your heart on your sleeve. I want you to leave everything out there. I want all of those things. Like, I hate guys smiling on the sidelines, chopping it up after a game. That Jimmy G crap, that drove me crazy. Now, you are who you are. I've coached and been with coaches that are the same way. And I've been around so many players that, like, look, dude, you can't make some of them mad. You just can't. That's just who they are. That's their disposition. They're not going to change. And I don't want people to change, but I want it to matter. I want it to matter. Jimmy G, it never mattered. Just never did. He did not care. He's out there getting paid. He wants to smile, do his thing at the Italian restaurant, if you know what I'm talking about, and then move on. That's just who he is. Like, he is fine. Yeah. Let's go to... Let's go to Fred Warner right here.
It's just infuriating, honestly. yeah, I'm always going to have all the confidence in the world and everybody that we have in our building. You know, all the answers are in here. It's just about doing it.
I mean, what else do you want him to say? You're talking about a superhuman, positive, you know, Hall of Fame type player that has been the backbone of this team. And now your defense is just getting sloshed every single fourth quarter by every single team. And early on, I was like, oh, well, it's just the great coordinators like KOC and McVay and Andy Reid. Nope, it's every coordinator. It is every single coordinator that you play is destroying you in the fourth quarter. Everyone, every single one. And this is a big reason why we've done well betting this year, despite the 49ers losing so many games, is we bet heavy first quarter and we fade them late in the games. And if you haven't bet with us yet, man, y'all need to get on it.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
A couple fun comments here. Sonia, she said, you know, the problem is we've been really spoiled. Like, the playoffs just were an afterthought. You get to the playoffs, it's what it was. I think the organization took it for granted this year. Yeah, and, you know, the Ayuk and Trent situation definitely didn't help at all. That made it worse and made it weird. And it just was weird. It just was weird, in the words of Jimmy G. It's just weird. Right here, Manny. Manny said that we should be 8-2, and the Burn Man responded, you are what your record says. If the 49ers were any better, they would be 8-2. Yeah, I mean, that's the old Bill Parcells adage, and I understand, like, why that exists and all those things. The 49ers have a plus 28 point differential. Plus 28. Plus 28. The closest team to that is the Packers, who are 7-3 with a plus 37. Like, go over to the AFC side. The Houston Texans are plus 22. They're 7-4. I think 7-3 is probably where the 49ers should be. I mean, if you just had a good kicker, that's one game. If you just had adequate special teams, that'd be another one. But you got to win the games. Like, you are only – and look, let's go back to Fred here. Because every game comes down to one or two plays.
I think it comes down to just really just one or two plays. As silly as it sounds, you know, one or two plays, it's like, man – really, that's all it is, but that's truly what it is, you know, because one or two plays can mean the difference in, you know, a touchdown versus a field goal versus a takeaway versus, you know, there's all these little things that go into it. And, you know, I'm not going into the game hoping that, man, I hope it's an easy game, you know, because if you go with that mindset, then you're not going to be ready for those moments that we were in today. You know, I came into it saying, if it comes down to the final play and the defense got to stand up and win it, then I'm going to be ready. You know, and that was my message to our defense. And that's going to be the message going forward. You know, you prepare like you're going to dominate the team that you're playing, but you're prepared for whatever, you know what I'm saying? You prepare for that fight. And so when you are in that battle, then you're ready for it.
Yeah. That, I mean, what if, and again, the what if game's dangerous because you do it for the Bucs game and you lose that game. You just got to make those plays. And that's why, you know, in my notes on the offensive film takeaways, Juwan Jennings, man, that dude should be a captain moving forward. Like, I want to sign this guy to a 5-year deal. He embodies what it means to be a 49er. You signed a 2-year extension. We got him next year. That's huge. But when Ayuk comes back, dude, do not let him play over Juwan Jennings. No. No. Should Ayuk play? Should he be a starter? Yes. Do not take Juwan Jennings off the field like you did this year when Ayuk came back. That's stupid. I understand the contract and whatever else. Yeah, you got screwed on that one. Juwan Jennings, the way he has dominated every single top corner that we have played against is unreal. Hey, like, look, Devin Witherspoon is really, really good. Really good. In fact, you go to that Brock Purdy interception, it wasn't so much on Purdy, it wasn't so much on CMC, it was Devin Witherspoon locking up Christian McCaffrey like nobody's business. I've been to so many training camp practices, and I see the one-on-ones. Nobody, I've never seen anybody do that. Devin Witherspoon, now I understand CMC's not the CMC that we knew last year yet, maybe he will be. Devin Witherspoon locked that dude up, forced that interception, like unbelievable coverage. On a whip route against CMC? Dude, nobody's doing that. But Juwan Jennings abused the hell out of that dude, Devin Witherspoon. Dude's playing like the best corner in the league. Completely blanketed Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings don't care. He still fights off it. He gets huge first down after first down on third and long, third and long, third and long, touchdowns. Doesn't care. Juwan Jennings against the best corners in the NFL. Doesn't give a damn what your rankings are, how fast you are. He's not going to be denied. We saw the same thing against the Bucs. Zion McCollum was the number one rated corner before him. Juwan Jennings put him in his place consistently. He did it against DJ Reed and the Jets. Trey White got him fired from the Rams job. Marcus Jones, who's a very young, promising slot corner for the Patriots. Like, it don't matter. Juwan Jennings is who you build your team around. That's who it is. What the hell, Steve-O? JJ is mid? Man, shut your damn mouth. What are you talking about? What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you, man? Somebody help you. Somebody need that dude to help. Now, no, don't block him or anything. But really? That's a take? JJ is mid? Yeah, that's just a troll. That's okay. That's okay. Some people don't understand football. Some people don't even watch football. Why are you watching my channel if you don't even watch football? There's nobody that would say JJ is mid. Nobody would say that. Again, there's always going to be fun takes out there. Keep them coming, Steve-O. Wow, that's hilarious. Who would say that? Who would say that? Anyway, yeah, that's okay. I have a lot of family members that aren't smart. It's totally cool. I get it. We love you anyway. We're glad you're here. Next time, bring a pen and paper and some notes so you can write some things down that you could type in that will make you sound educated and not like you're just completely full of other stuff. What the hell? What does that take? What does that take? What is that? Oh, geez. Anyway, that's okay. I'm just going to... Dude, listen. Don't talk. It's not... Listen. Like I like you, but be careful. Like, that's stupid. Don't put stupid stuff out there. Anyway, he's the MVP of the team right now. Juwan Jennings is the MVP of the team. Oh, okay. We're doing this. We're talking Juwan Jennings. I got to help these people, guys. What am I called to do? Like, what is my role here? What would you say you do here? Let's look at Juwan Jennings, man, and just what he's been able to accomplish. 42 catches on 58 targets, okay? Catch rate, 72%. Brandon Ayuk, catch rate, 53. Deebo Samuel, 63. Unbelievable. Ricky Pearsall, 64. Catch rate's off the chart. And remember, the number one corner, not on Deebo, they're guarding Juwan Jennings, and he's still doing what he says. Leads the team in receiving despite missing a few games. Has four touchdowns, 14 yards per reception. That's better than George Kittle. Ah, oh, good gosh. Dude is a beast. And then you look at the blocking. Oh, man. Dude, somebody help that man. Somebody help that man. Whew. Got me all hot over here. Got me all hot over here. That's okay. He's a stud. Now, I have no clue, sticking with wide receivers, why they took Ricky Pearsall out of the game plan. I have no clue. Now, they did look his way twice early, and he was covered. He was wide open so much of the game. There was one play where he ran and got rerouted, which was my main concern of his in college tape. Dude just fell down. Like, literally just got rerouted by the nickel and just falls to the ground on his route. But that was, like, in the third quarter, and he had already been watching on the sidelines a lot. He's got to play more. He's got to play more. Now, there was an article that came out that I love talking about almost every single year. Tom Pelissero puts out these young, promising coaches you know, whatever. And he lists like 30 coaches. It's on NFL.com. I think it's NFL.com, but very, very good article. No 49ers. No 49er coaches on the list. No 49ers coaches spotlighted. That's crazy talk. You look at all the GMs and player personnel and DCs and OCs and play callers. There's nobody new in the wings. Good news, you get to keep what you got. Bad news, nobody's trying to get what you got. If you were what you were, teams would be trying to snipe your talent. Nothing. Now, having said that, there are several coaches that I like long-term and have a lot of upside to them. Offensively, Clay Kubiak. I mean, he's got the name, Nepo Babies Unite. His brother, obviously, down in New Orleans. Like, Clay is going to have opportunities to land a spot in the future. Probably not going to be next year. Brian Griese, I think his route would be college, not NFL. If he wants to play call in the NFL, I think he's got some more time. Till that, Leonard Hakerson, who I really, really like. I've talked with people on the staff and players on the staff. They really like this dude. So the wide receiver coach, you know, what would be the next steps? But Shanahan loves wide receiver coaches. He played wide receiver. That's where he started coaching in the NFL. So, like, Leonard, he's brought with him two places now. I think that's a promising young name. We'll see. And Brian Fleury, the tight ends coach. I am a big proponent. If you can coach tight ends, you can coach anything. I think it's quarterbacks, then tight ends. Those are the two hardest positions to coach and the most inclusive because you have to know all of the running game assignments and all the pass protections and all the pass tree routes. You got to know it all. Running backs coach is the easiest. Tight ends coach, I think, is one of the hardest. Defensively, I love Daniel Bullock, our DB coach. Our defensive backs have flourished. A lot of that was attributed to Steve Wilks, and I think that kind of catapulted them. But Wilks is gone. Our corners are still freaking dominant. Safeties, yeah, I took a huge step back, but that's okay. And KJ Wright, longtime Seattle Seahawk. You know, he's been with us. He's quality control coach now. But I could definitely see him. Johnny Holland's amazing, our linebackers coach. He's been in the NFL forever. If he decided to hang it up, I could definitely see KJ Wright step up into that role. So we have some young, promising coaches. But yeah, Big Dez, they've been poached. Man, we have been, the waters have been overfished. And Shanahan's not bringing in a lot of new. He's not. He's only bringing in who knows dad, who knows papa, and who knows Shanahan. That's all that he will bring in. That's it. I wish that was not the case. I really, really do. I wish we took coaches from the Rams. I wish we took coaches from the Packers. I wish we took coaches from, you know what I'm saying? Like, I really wish we would take promising coaches, but Shanahan doesn't want to do that. I want my guys. That's all he cares about. Steve Wilks was the coach of this team right now, we'd be 8-3. Oh, sorry, 8-2. My bad. I can count. I'm smart. SMRT. Mav says, do any college or high school teams want our special teams coach? Good Lord. Again, that's level 10. 10 out of 10 problems, Brian Schneider. Poorly coached on all phases. All phases. Mark, what's up, Mark? Appreciate you, brother. This is an excellent roster, but they have a lack of focus, drive, and motivation. Most of their problems are mental. The good news, if they get their heads right, they could go on a run. Now, when things are bad and you're losing, everything gets exemplified and magnified. Everything. Every little issue. When you're winning, it's the greatest deodorant in the world. Covers up all the bad smells. All the issues that are there don't seem to be there. When you're winning, it's just, nice. Here goes a run. Positive, positive. When you're losing, it's not the case. Kawachipto says, roster isn't excellent. I think it's a pretty damn good roster. Is it as good as last year's? Maybe not. But still a pretty damn good. You look, now the offensive line and defensive line are not. The stars are there. Quarterback, running back, wide receivers, cornerbacks, linebackers, for the most part there. Problem is, we are all stars and built on these names, these skill players. I think that's a problem. Build in the trenches. build in the trenches. Right here, the Jerky King. Wasn't Sala a linebacker coach in Seattle? He goes outside. No. Him and Robert Sala worked together for a long time. Him and Matt LaFleur worked together for a long time. They all knew about each other. Now, did Shanahan know Robert Sala? He did not. But LaFleur, both LaFleurs worked under Shanahan and were best friends with Robert Sala. And Robert Sala followed Shanahan around almost his entire career. But Shanahan did want that the Seattle 3. That is true. But like even the people he goes out, Brian Griese, coached by dad, John Lynch, coached by dad, almost all these guys, Bobby Turner, coached by dad, Anthony Lynn, coached by dad. Like, I wish he would go outside more. Obviously, there's always going to be, you know, people that, don't follow with you know, the general rule or exceptions to the rule. But it's what it is. Let's see here. Right here. Yeah, those names aren't really what they once were. That's true. That's true. But the good news is the draft was awesome. I just hated the positions you addressed, but you addressed correctly. Our draft class is unreal. Ricky Pearsall, I think, was a misuse of funds, of capital. I do. I still believe that. I don't think that was the biggest need on the team. I still don't think it was the biggest need on the team. We obviously talked about the center position, offensive line position earlier, but Ricky Pearsall, I think, was a hit. Probably shouldn't say that with the shot and all that stuff, but like Ricky Pearsall is promising. Renardo Green, home run. Dominique Pooney, grand slam. You know what I mean? Like there is a lot of positives. And it doesn't even stop. Isaac Garendo, I don't know about that one. Malik Mustafa, great. Jacob Cowing, eh. And Tatum Bethune, eh. But if you've got four, Ricky Pearsall, Green, Pooney, Mustafa, that's four. That's four great players already. Maybe Garendo turns into something. I don't have a lot of faith there. Maybe Cowing, if you just let him play. Tatum Bethune's going to be a great run stuffer. Yeah, right here. 49ers, too top heavy. Trade CMC, really can't. Trade Trent, can't. Trade Debo, can't. Trade Kittle, can't. Yeah, you got to look at the contracts. Yeah, it's none of those are really possible right now. And you're still competing. Let's see here. Trading our depth for Hargrave was a mistake. Hargrave might have been the worst contract free agency, even worse than D-Ford, to be honest with you, which is crazy. D-Ford was bad, but you saw it. You never saw it with Hargrave. Hargrave was all right his rookie year or his first year with us. This year was absolutely horrible. Jimmy Ward should have made 10 years with us. I do agree with that. But where are you going to play him? I would take Jimmy Ward over Jair Brown still. He wanted to play safety. We didn't want him to do that. We moved Demo to nickel, and he got paid big time. But, yeah, he should have hit 10 years with us. I do agree with you there, Big Dez, 100%. Right here, Dave. What pisses me off most about Snyder special teams is that he used to dominate us when he was with the Seagulls. Yeah, he did. Makes you go, the game has changed. In the words of Ferris Bueller, if you don't stop and look around once in a while, it'll pass you by. Said bye-bye to Snyder long, 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 long time ago. Sadly, it's what it is. That's what it is. Now, this game's the most important. You got to win it. Then after that, you got Buffalo, which I'm so pumped. I've never been to that stadium. I know they're doing a new one. I can't wait. If you're going to Buffalo, you got to come hang out with us. We're going to be in the Rec Room Saturday, November 30th from 2 to 6 p.m. I got to change the time on that. And then we got our tailgate. Man, it's going to be awesome. One block northwest. Yeah, northwest of the stadium. Unlimited drinks, food. It's going to be crazy mayhem party. Half Bills, half Niners. It's going to be awesome. Get your tickets, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Premium tailgate. Like, there's other tailgates out there, and if our price point is too much, I understand that. We spend the most money for a close location and top shelf almost everything. So, like, I understand. Yes, it is pricey. It costs a lot to set up a party over 1,000 miles away and all that stuff. It's what it is. But I understand it's not for everybody. But if you are going to Buffalo, I really hope you come out and say what's up. I really, really hope you do. And I want to finish with this comment by Darius. Because I'm with you, Darius. I'm not done with this year. But I am looking forward to us getting younger next year. Still got a chance, and I'm hopeful for better. Dude, tis blood a flesh wound. Tis but a scratch. We ain't done. No. I'll tell you when we're done. We're not done. You lose to the Packers, I still don't think you're done. I think you're probably done. But right now, the 49ers got plenty of chance. You lose to the Packers, it's pretty close. You're going to have things break your way. The Niners are one game out of first place, guys. One game out of first place. And your division sucks. Yeah, everybody's average, but nobody's great. Still got a lot of football game. You got seven games left. Seven teams get in. Ah, man, we're right there. I'm not done either, man. Are we in a good situation? No. Should we be pissed we're in the situation? Yes. Do you give up on the situation? No. You fight till the end. You fight to the damn end. Period. That's it. That's it. That's why they call you the faithful. And as always, we don't give up. Till next time, stay strong, faithful.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.